You know, we had a, well, it's just such a blessing that my good friend, Myron, and Sharon, and you know what God has done in his life, in their life, and, you know, God has just delivered him and healed him and set him free. Praise God. Amen? Amen. I mean, it's a, you know, I know it's a, it's been a battle, it's been a war, but there is more. Amen. Amen. And I asked, because Myron was asked to come down and do a wedding for a friend of ours. They got married the first time at 70 years old. It was quite a deal. That's the understatement. But it was lovely, and Myron did a super job. And so I asked him on the way down if he would minister, bring the word today, and he graciously said yes. First he rebelled a little bit, but anyway, but he graciously accepted. And so I just want, well, no, before you come, I want you to come, but then we'll pray for you. Because after you minister, something might, you know, God might change his mind. So, what is you laughing at? So let's just do this. Let's everybody get up, come down, and lay hands on Myron. I mean, this is just like part of your family here.
Yes.
And, you know, just thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for what he's done in Myron. He's rebuked the cancer. And I'm decreeing and saying again and again, he's cancer free. Amen? Yes. Amen. So, Father, we thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we glorify you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, we thank you that, Jesus, you are the healer. You are the healer, that you bore the stripes on your back for Myron's healing 2,000 years ago. And Lord, I thank you that you have healed him in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we come against all just the fiery darts of the enemy. We come against the vain imaginations. We just come against those things in Jesus' name. Lord, all we do is hear what you said. He is healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
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 Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. Come on, Myron.
Okay, is it working? Is it working well enough? Cool. Can anybody hear me? I wonder if you would join me in prayer. God is working even now with me in my heart about what I share with you today. And I wonder if you would pray with me now that everything that I say would be just in his will and that it would be brief enough that we could get to lunch. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are good all the time. I thank you for this fellowship of believers. I thank you for the opportunity to speak your word. I ask that everything that is true and right and in keeping with your word would be magnified in my mouth and in the hearts of all of us who hear what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. It really is a pleasure to be able to stand here today, because all of you know that I've gone through a lot of struggle in the last year, and dozens and dozens and dozens of times I called art, and art was always calm and always faithful. He never got irritated, or at least I never knew his irritation when I called. And he always said something that I always heard this, in spite of what he said, and he usually said it. He said, "Myron, put your trust in the Lord." He also told me one of the scriptures that I had clung on to. It's Psalm 118, verse 17. It's a Psalm of David. And it was one of the scriptures that I held on to as I struggled with the pain and the suffering that I went through with the chemotherapy and later the surgery and the post-surgery issues. Psalm 118, verse 17, David says, "I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord." Because I believe I have it right. But Art said he heard that scripture was really for me. And I believed it. And so I was believing the Lord for healing. I was trusting the Lord for healing. He is the healer. I am the healed. And then Art, as he does, messed with me. Last week, he sent me an email. Well, I guess it was week before last. And in the email, it had this verse that he preached on last week, and I'm still being messed with this verse. It's verse 4 of Psalm 22. And it goes like this: "Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered." And as I understood Art's message from last week, the whole emphasis here is on trusting him because of who he is. Trusting him and not trusting for the payoff. And that just sort of messed with me, because all of a sudden I realized I was trusting him to heal me. And I'm having a difficult time even now pulling apart what it means to trust him for who he is, because of his character, because of his love, because he will never leave me or you or forsake me or you. Trusting who he is, no matter what, as opposed to trusting him for what he does for us. As we were singing that last hymn, Nan came up to me, the last praise song. It was about how good he's been to us. How good he is. He's blessed us beyond measure. I trust him for who he is, and I know that he's given me and you everything that we have, every need that we have has been fulfilled by his faithfulness. not by our faithfulness. By His love, not by how much we've loved Him. By His mercy, by His grace, not by our merit or by our ability. The Lord is good. This verse, verse 4 of Psalm 22, our fathers trusted in you, they trusted, and you, God, delivered them, is embedded in a psalm that was a precursor to, well, on the cross, Jesus began this psalm. While He was hanging on the cross, loving you and me, and suffering unimaginably, He began the first verse of this psalm. I'm going to ask Wanda if she would read that now. No, actually, it's in Matthew we're going to read, not the psalm.
Now, from the sixth hour. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour.
The last word that Jesus spoke on the cross, from a human perspective, we might think He was feeling separated from God. I believe He was beginning the Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is an expression of trust in God. It is an expression of His faith in the midst of pain and suffering that is unimaginable, in my mind anyway. Jesus on the cross, unable to breathe because of the heaviness of His everything. Everything just falling down. He remembered the Psalm of David that begins this way.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. But you
It is a beginning of Jesus' death, and he knew he was dying quickly. And on his heart was the truth that he put his trust in his Father. In spite of everything that he saw around him, in spite of the ridicule, in spite of the situation that he was in, he was putting his trust in his Father, who would never leave him nor forsake him. Everyone around him was ridiculing him. We're challenging his belief, his faith. That's not unlike it is today. People constantly, if we're Christians, and we let people know, are constantly saying and challenging our belief by saying, "Let him save you then," and ridiculing our belief in healing and hope in the Lord. Around the cross, that was the challenge for Jesus. And so the next, go ahead.
Verse 14.
Yes. On the cross, Jesus bore all of our sin, and the wrath of God was upon him for the sin of the world. I cannot imagine how he could even bear my sin, much less yours, much less all of the sin of all of the world. And then the wrath of God for sin, because God is holy and righteous and cannot abide sin, was upon Jesus. A gruesome death. And yet he's proclaiming, "I trust in you, Father." And then the psalm turns.
Nor has he hidden
Jesus was anticipating that the sacrifice that he was making would be the point at which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And so willingly, he on the cross gave up his life for us, that we might enjoy all of the passion that he had for us, all of the desire he had for us and for our life, for our healing, for our wholeness, for our prosperity, for our deliverance. We would be benefited by his gift for us as he was hanging on the cross. Well, I came the other night, was it Thursday night here? And Art messed with me again. He used another psalm, Psalm 9:9-10. And that one goes like this: the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. Psalm 9:9-10. The Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Well, into every life, into every person's life will come trouble. I don't know anyone who isn't struggling with some kind of adversity in their lives. And everyone's adversity is huge to them. There is no small adversity. It's all something that challenges us to believe and to trust in the Lord and to know that he is our refuge. It could be cancer. It could be breaking relationships. Or it could be relationships that are coming together that are fiery. It could be financial problems. It could be just anything, going to school. And the anxiety and the fear of what's ahead. And the Word says that he doesn't forsake us in the midst of whatever our adversity is. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He never deserts us. We're never without him, ever. And yet, when adversity or fear come upon us, I'm going to speak for myself. I was speaking for us just now, but I'm going to change it for me. When I am struggling with my adversary, and right now its name is cancer, I have a tendency to think about medical report as true. I have a tendency to get anxious. I have a tendency to look with my physical eyes. The Bible calls that carnality. I have a tendency to think that the problem is intractable. And as they say, and as the Borg says to Captain Kirk or Captain Jean-Luc Picard, resistance is futile. I have a tendency to think that the problem is too big. And then I begin to struggle with the truth that the spiritual world is much more powerful. And it is much more real than this little physical world that we have. The truth is that there's nothing too difficult for God. No adversary can stand against us. The Lord is our refuge and our strength. We trust Him because of who He is. We trust Him because of His character. We trust Him not because He's a refuge. We trust Him because of His holiness and righteousness, and He can never back away from His promises. His promises are more sure, more solid than anything in this world. He is our refuge because of His holiness and righteousness and purity, and He does not ever lie. His words are true. The school can be something that you can conquer through Him who loves you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the school. Amen. And you too, and all of us. We're all in school. Well, when our eyes grow dim to the truth, and we can only see with our natural eyes, what do we do? One of my texts for healing was chapter 8 of Matthew. And it begins with this word in the first verse of Matthew chapter 8. When He had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him, that's Jesus, and behold, a leper came and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus stretched out His hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. In my situation, that was one of my verses that I clung to and really wanted. It didn't happen immediately. It's happening as I speak to you now. Remember Art's verse for me? I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. I'm declaring the works of the Lord. Praise God. I was talking to a young man this week and telling him that this was one of my verses that I clung to, that I still cling to. And he said, yeah, but I don't believe that stuff. I don't believe that kind of stuff. It just is too incredible to believe, and I don't really think that it could possibly be. And he was having a deep physical problem. I was inviting him to come to the healing rooms on Thursday night. I don't believe that stuff, he said. And so today he still has the physical problems that he had when I talked to him. And he still struggles with that same thing. this is when I was, this is what I thought of when I was talking to him, but I never got quite to it. It was Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 20. You want to turn to that? I'm not used to a congregation that brings their Bible and actually follows me, so I thank you that you're doing that. Mark chapter 9, verse 20. Then they brought to him, that is, they brought him a boy who the disciples could not heal, okay? The little boy whose father brought his son to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't heal him, they brought the little boy to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he, Jesus, asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And the father said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out and convulsed the little boy greatly and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Do you know, I know, if you're like me, there are times in which we need help to believe. There are times in which we need help to trust. That first psalm that Art preached on last week, Psalm 22, verse 4, they trusted in the Lord. They trusted in, our fathers trusted in the Lord. They trusted in the Lord. And he delivered them. Well, there are times in which we don't trust. We look through our eyes and see what the world says, and we hear, we have a cacophony of the whole world telling us that belief is stupid. And so we step into unbelief and mistrust. And the father cried out, "Lord, I believe." But with tears he said, "Please help my unbelief." Jesus did not rebuke him. Jesus did not say, "Look here, you got to believe. You know, if you believe, all things are possible." And he didn't come back and, you know, give a hard line. He had compassion on the Father and on the Son. And he has compassion on you and me too. He healed the son. He helped the father's unbelief. And he helps our unbelief. He comes alongside us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He comes to us. He has compassion on us. "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And he does. Amen. He does. "Lord, I trust. Help my mistrust." And he does. Jesus loves us with a love that's unfailing. It's not all up to us. Do you know, when I couldn't believe, I called Art. And he came alongside me just like God does, only I couldn't feel God. He never rebuked me. He always supported me and held me in his hand. He does that even now. You've got a wonderful, wonderful pastor, apostle of God. And I know he does the same for everyone who comes to him. He's not God. I'm not wanting to say that. But he's like God in so many different ways. I certainly do appreciate you. Thank you. But Jesus didn't ever tell this boy's father, you have to believe, and if you don't believe, I'm not going to heal your son. But the father was honest and said, I really believe, but I have this unbelief in me. Help me with believing more. Help me with trusting you with everything that I have. Help me. Help me. And when we just say, help me, he is always faithful to us. There is a passage in John that also points in this direction that I think is also true. Well, it's always true if it's in the scripture, but it's about this truth. Wanda, if you'll read that first verse. As he is, so are we in this world. Praise God. It's not because of who we are. It's because he has sacrificed himself and given himself for us, come alongside of us, and supplied for us belief and faith and trust and hope when we didn't have it. When we wanted it and asked for help, he is always the one who comes alongside and gives it to us. And as a result of his sacrifice on the cross, as he is, so are we in this world. He is faithful. He is whole. He is courageous. He is healed. He is healthy. Okay? He's not healed. He's healthy. As he is, so are we in this world. Not because of who we are, but because of what he did, the work that he did for us on the cross. And not because we have enough belief or faith in ourselves, but because he, when we ask him to help us, supplies that. Would you read that next part?
There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love.
In verse 19, amen. We love him because he first loved us. We trust him because he first entrusted to us the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he is Jesus. We love and trust. We believe him because he first believed in us enough that he would give us salvation and wholeness and reconciliation and restoration and health and wholeness to us. Not because we earned it or merited it or believed enough, but because he did all of that first for us. Our fathers trusted in the Lord. They trusted, and he delivered them. It's all about God. And when we can't trust enough, it's all about God. He will come alongside us when we ask and help us to trust. It's all about God. When we don't believe enough, we tell him. He comes alongside us, and we believe. He believes through us. Lord, give me not faith in you, but your faith. Give me not belief in you, but your belief. Lord, give me love. Not my love, but your love through me. So I bless each one of you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit to know how good and wonderful the Lord Jesus Christ is, how good the Father is to us, and how much the Holy Spirit wants to come alongside us and teach us everything about Jesus, that we might be made complete even as he is complete. Amen. Thank you, Art, for the privilege.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Myron, for expounding upon my message. That was beautiful.
You messed with me.
I mess with you. Well, I like to mess with people. That's my favorite thing to do. But Myron did a super job of expounding upon the message that I brought last week. And like I shared last week, of course, I passed out the notes, and if you weren't here last week, I'm sorry you missed the notes. But it's one of those messages that I think we all need to meditate. We need to get let God give us revelation of trust him. You know, it's an awesome thing to trust him. Of course, Thursday night I shared in that scripture, it was referring to marriage. And in marriage, before you can really have a marriage, you have to trust. And Myron so beautifully in the wedding vows last night, he incorporated trust, because in most wedding vows, it doesn't say anything about trust. It says love, honor, and obey. But it's trust that really makes a relationship. I don't care, marriage, whatever, but a relationship is built on trust. Amen? And the other thing that you alluded to, Myron, which was great, and I've, you know, we used to use the word, or the saying, I don't believe the facts. I believe the truth. You know, there's facts that you can go and you can get, the doctors can tell you facts. People can tell you facts. Bankers can tell you facts. Blah, 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 and all these other things. What is the truth? The truth is what God says. The truth is what the Word says.
Amen.
I don't believe the facts. I believe the truth. Like Myron said, sometimes we need God to say, God, help my unbelief. Amen? I mean, we've got to be truthful with one another. But we have to do that. And then we can trust him. Trust him. And know he will. It's not about, like I shared last week, Myron shared, it's not about trusting the thing. It's trusting the holiness of God. Praise God. Amen. Father, we thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in each one of our lives. I thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your holiness. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, for your forgiveness. Lord, I thank you that in the chaos, you lead us and guide us. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen.